Is it too early to start thinking about fall and winter services? Well, stay tuned. I'm going to talk to you about that next.
Welcome to the Lawn Care Frank Podcast, where we help lawn care professionals like yourself start and grow their business by tackling obstacles such as finding customers, hiring talented people, spreading brand awareness, and much, much more. Now your host, Lawn Care Frank.
What's going on, lawn care pros? So today I'm here with Clay, a good friend of mine and producer of the show. And we're going to go through some of the things that you can do during the fall and winter months to enhance your yard and also, as a business owner, put some money in our pocket. So some opportunities that we can take to gain some business. And this is going to give us a little heads up. We're trying to do this ahead of time, right? Maybe a month or two before fall really hits, so we can really start thinking about what our marketing scheme will be as well. So I'm here with Clay. Hey, Clay, how you doing today?
Hey, Frank, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. And Clay, I want to let the audience know you pretty much know very little about the lawn and landscaping side of the business, which, you've learned a lot, but you're typically more of the homeowner. You don't know really about the business aspect of it, which the reason I wanted to have you on today is so, you know, as I go through some of the things that we can do, you can give us some questions from a non-landscaper or lawn business owner perspective. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I know you've got a great list of things to do. And as a homeowner, you know, you can maybe present these to me of things I should be thinking about coming up for the fall.
That sounds good. So, you know, like one of the things that I like to think about when we're going into the fall, winter months is, good leaf cleanup, right? That's a really good opportunity. And some businesses out there make like a ton of money out there, depending on what areas you're in and, you know, the density of trees in your area. You know, that's a really good opportunity for people as business owners to maybe even start advertising that, you know, a month or two before those leaves start falling.
Yes, because every year I get a ton of leaves, so I definitely need that service. So, and then when someone presents themselves to do a leaf cleanup, do you bag the leaves or mulch them, or just depends on what the customer wants?
You know, it really depends on the your business model. You know, like we whenever I was doing the maintenance side of the business when we were first starting out, we didn't have like a leaf vacuum machine. You know, that's really become popular. You know, where you can set up your trailer with the leaf vacuum and you can vacuum it up. But you know, when you're first starting out and you don't have that type of equipment, you can always bag the leaves. And if there's not a lot of leaves, and maybe you're trying to maintain some of the yards on an annual basis, you can also sell the service of, hey, you don't have a whole lot of leaves, but you do have some that are falling on a consistent basis. So what I would recommend, as the business owner to the homeowner would be, you know, why don't we just, you know, mow every other week since you don't have a whole lot of leaves, and it'll just mulch it up. But generally speaking, you know, you want to, do the bagging of the leaves. You know, you can, depending on your area, you would leave that at the curbside, or maybe you take it with you. But there's several ways you could do that. I'm curious, Clay. So as a homeowner, when you get leaves fallen, you know, do you use a service or do you just kind of do it yourself?
I have had a service before where they raked them up, bagged them up, and the garbage guy took them off, or they took them off. But I think this year, with the lack of rain, I think this year I may just do a little bit of it myself and may just leave them there and have them mulched a little bit later for mowing.
Yeah, so do you have a lot of trees yourself? Or
I do now. The previous house, I did not have a lot of trees, but the home I have now, I do have a lot of trees. And so, yeah, I anticipate probably a pretty big landscaping job for that when the leaves do fall.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you might want to actually get a service then, huh?
Probably this year, yes.
Okay, well, cool. So Any other questions you might have as far as doing a leaf cleanup, like pricing or anything like that? Or
I know it depends on the business model, but is it a per bag? Is it by the how much square footage on the yard? How do people usually charge for that, for the leaf cleanup?
Yeah, so you hit the nail right on the head, right? So it depends on your business model. You could charge by the bag, you could charge by the hour, you could charge by a flat estimate. You know, if you're maybe you've got the leaf vacuum set up and you can go and you have enough experience where you can go up to the property and know that, you know, hey, we can do this for, you know, $325. Or maybe you have some of your customers on an annual basis, and you're charging, you know, a certain dollar amount per month to do other services other than leaf cleanup, and you can just incorporate that in there. But, you know, when you're first starting out, and maybe you don't have all the equipment, and you're trading basically your labor, your time, right, for money, right? So your labor hours for money. That's a good way to start out and just basically charge per hour, right? So you can maybe determine that in your area, and you can do a little bit of homework and see what other people are charging in your area. And maybe you've determined at that point, after you've done a little research, that the going rate is maybe $55 per man hour, right? Which that basically means that me as an individual, if I was coming out, my goal is to try to make $55 per man hour. And you can present that to the homeowner, right? Like, you know, if I came up to you, Clay, if I said to you, you know, we charge $55 per man hour, and I'll be the only one doing it, so it's $55 per man hour. So
yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense, and that would be a, you know, agreeable price. So yeah, that's a great way to, I would think, supplement the income and the charging for that. So okay. What do you have next on your list?
Well, the next thing I would have on my list is some of the things that I look at when I'm walking a property is, you know, going back to the trees, the leaves fall, right? And the other thing we could look at on the tree itself is some of the branches, right? Maybe some of those branches are, we got some dead branches, we got some low-hanging branches, we got some branches that are just going bonkers, right? Mm-hmm. They're going all over the place. Right. They're going crazy. Maybe maybe Clay hasn't had the chance to do any kind of annual pruning. Maybe Clay just moved into a new property, right? And he's decided, or he didn't know, when the last homeowner had done a good, you know, pruning.
That's correct, because I actually do have a couple of trees in the backyard that I have noticed there are some dead limbs. And that's a question I've always had is, do you just, you know, prune the lower dead limbs, or if you see some higher ones, hire someone out to go ahead and come prune those higher dead limbs on the tree, or what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a good pruning, right, I would definitely take into consideration hiring a professional and getting everything that looks dead taken care of, right? Because it's not just dead that's the problem as far as, you know, being up there, but it's also a hazard, right? Because if it's dead, you might be walking, or somebody might be walking, or the kids might be playing, and those dead branches are going to, you know, come down at some point, right? And we sure don't want that to happen when, you know, the kids are playing.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of heights, so I would definitely hire that service out for sure.
Yeah.
I guess you would get someone that's more experienced, and they would know how far back to cut the limbs and that kind of thing, or does it really matter as long as you're just, you know, removing those dead limbs?
Yeah, me personally, I like to hire someone that has experience in pruning, right? Because in general rule of thumb for me is the less experience they have, the more damage they can actually do to the tree itself. You know, maybe they send the tree into shock, because typically speaking, the people that are inexperienced will tend to trim more than less. you know, I've worked with several arborists in the past, and one of the best ones that I ever worked with, he really did minimal amount of pruning, and the results were just fantastic, you know. And he never, you know, took the tree into shock or, and everything looked really nice and even. He really took into consideration which way the direction of the new shoots were going to be, you know, whenever you prune, what's going to be the direction of that new shoot. And so there is a different level of expertise from experienced to non-experienced.
So if you don't know what you're doing and you want to try this to supplement your income, you either need to do a lot of research or maybe, like you've said in the past, sub it out to another company.
Absolutely. So if that's not in your wheelhouse, right, that's not in your comfort zone, that's not your passion, or, you know, maybe you're a lawn care provider, you really don't do a whole lot of tree pruning, maybe stick to, you know, the lower stuff. Me personally, I don't like encouraging anybody to even get on a ladder. You know, like a good tree company, they'll climb the tree. They typically don't get on ladders. They take safety
safety first
for sure, right? You know, because you definitely don't want to, you know, hurt yourself or hurt somebody else or hurt the property. I would encourage, you know, hiring a professional on that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, like I said, I'm not going to try that for sure. So, what's something else we can think about for the fall?
So the other thing that I was thinking of is, you know, the leaves are falling, and where do they fall? You know, on the roof and in the gutters, right? So gutters is another opportunity. You know, cleaning gutters is a really good opportunity to enhance your income, especially if you're doing all the other work already. You're already on the property. So do you have gutters at your house?
I do have gutters, but it's a new property that I've just moved in, so I have not had those cleaned out ever.
Okay.
So that'll be something that I need to think about coming up, going into the fall and in the winter here.
Yeah, so there's companies that do that. Typically, you know, I really don't know a company that just does gutter cleaning. But, you know, typically you can get with your lawn care providers and ask them, hey, do you guys provide that service? And a lot of them do take that on. And it's a good way, again, for people in the lawn industry to supplement their income during those months, you know.
And how would you determine pricing on, you know, that service?
You know, that's a really, really good question. And that's going to vary quite a bit. And the best way to do that as far as the research is kind of call around and see what the rate is. And typically what they'll do is on a linear foot, and the complexity of the gutter cleaning, you know, whether if it's a one story, two story, if how steep it is. And again, going back to the linear foot, and you can determine once you have got some sort of a pricing structure down, then you can really hone that in and figure out, okay, well, I just did Mrs. Jones. I charged $225 and it was this many linear feet. So I can, you know, drop that in an Excel sheet or on a piece of paper and figure out, okay, well, I charged X amount for linear foot, right? And it was a one story. So I can start building my price sheet up that way. And another way, you know, to really fine tune that is, you know, figure out how much did you make per man hour whenever you did that $225 job, right? Did you come in at 55? Did you come in at 80? You know, when we talked about, you know, doing a leaf cleanup and we were just throwing out numbers and, you know, we threw out the $55 per man hour. And again, that varies where you are geographically. Maybe the gutter cleaning is going to be at a higher man hour per rate because it's a little bit more risk involved to doing that kind of work, right? Because maybe you have to get on the roof or maybe you got to get on the ladder. Whatever you need to do, it might be a little bit priced differently. So instead of $55 per man hour, maybe you're shooting for, you know, $80 to $120 per man hour, right? So again, that's how you can start building your specific price sheet, your price quote.
Yes, and definitely another great way to supplement the income for sure. So what's another thing that I should be on the lookout for to enhance my landscaping?
Well, yeah, so as far as, you know, like the fall and winter months that we're talking about right now, another opportunity might be if you do lawn aeration, maybe, you know, you do spring lawn aeration and you also can add fall lawn aeration. So maybe some of your customers didn't take on the spring lawn aeration and here's an opportunity to do the fall. Or maybe you can, you know, maybe somebody is really sold on the idea and, you know, lawn aeration is a really good thing for your lawn. Maybe they, you know, are looking for that beautiful lawn and they have additional funds that, you know, that they like, they want to throw at it to enhance it. Maybe they can do a spring and a fall. So again, going back to what we were talking about, you know, concentrate on the fall, winter months, that would be a good opportunity to sell fall lawn aeration.
And so if someone's out there and they want to do lawn aeration for their customers, do they need to go buy a lawn aeration machine or can they rent it or what should they do there?
Yeah, you could do either or, right? So if you don't already have a lawn aerator, you can always, if you're starting out, you can always rent one, right? So, and that's really a good way to get started if you've never done lawn aeration to see if maybe that's something I want to do or not. And maybe you had a maybe this is your first year and you know you're wanting to supplement your income during these slower months, the fall winter months, and you say, well, you know, it's fall, let me go ahead and tack this on to my services and see how many people will actually do it. And again, we want to try to advertise and maybe try to sell this in advance or get the advertisement out there in advance. So we have an idea that, okay, well, I've got 10 or 20 people that want to do it, or I've got 50. Then you can kind of schedule those kind of on a, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 days, whatever that might be. Maybe you can do, you know, 8 or 10 a day, right? Depending on the size of the lawn. And then that way you can really, if you're going to rent the machine, you can really try to maximize your profit by not, you know, renting the machine just to do one or two.
Yeah, that sounds good. And so as a homeowner, I understand lawn aeration beautifies the lawn, makes it look, you know, better, healthier coming up, and you're doing it for the pre-season coming up.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. This is Lawn Care Frank. I wanted to touch base with you guys. Many of you have been asking about one-on-one coaching. Now I'm going to be offering that as a service for you guys in September of this year. That's one-on-one coaching. Now, if you want to be an early participant, make sure you go to lawncarefrank.com/coaching. You're going to see a form there. Fill that out and that'll email us and we're going to get back to you and talk to you and see how we can get you scheduled right away. Again, lawncarefrank.com/coaching. And now back to the podcast.
But explain to me, if you're explaining to the customer what lawn aeration does, can you kind of briefly describe what's happening there?
Yeah, so, you know, I typically like the core lawn aeration where the machine is actually taking out plugs and putting it back onto the surface of the lawn. So basically, you're aerating the lawn, right? So you're letting airflow, you're letting nutrients be better absorbed. In Texas, we had a really hot summer, so people weren't also watering. We didn't have much rain, so the soil got really compact, right? So if you can imagine the soil being compacted, right? What happens when that happens is, you know, when you do water, it's not going to be absorbed in as well, right? because it's so compact and you're going to have more runoff. Or maybe you're putting chemicals down, it's not going to get absorbed as well, right? You're not going to get air going through to the root system and such. So again, there's just so many benefits to that. Especially like in our area right now, where we're going through the drought and I think 47 days of consecutive 100 plus degree weather. And, you know, again, no rain, a lot of compact soils. Again, another opportunity to, sell that service, which is really beneficial to the customer.
Yeah, and like you said, being here in Texas and we had such a dry summer, definitely a good idea to try and sell that lawn aeration service to help the lawn coming up. So what else do you got next on your list?
So the other thing I would do, back to the lawn side of it, you know, once we've aerated the lawn, maybe we want to throw in one more feed, right? So typically we're not putting in fertilizer at this late because we're starting to go into the dormancy side of the season where, you know, the lawns are not growing, they're dormant, and we're really looking at some point, you know, in the fall, winter months, starting to add on pre-emergent. But maybe right before then, you can go ahead and, you know, since we had such a weird season as far as the weather goes and so much stress was put on the lawns, maybe we can put in a low nitrogen, high phosphorus, high potassium, or a good mix like that with a low nitrogen again, because we don't want the top growth so much. We're not interested in that right now, but that's going to give us, you know, the overall health of the lawn and root building, right? So maybe we can tack that on before we wrap up our fertilizer side of the business.
So that sounds like kind of quite a bit of array of things you need to know about. Do you need to be licensed to do that, or just learn about it, or what?
You know, you're going to have to check with your local state to see if you need to be licensed. I know there's for fertilization weed control here in Texas, you do have to be licensed for the chemical side of the business, but you don't necessarily need to be licensed here. And I, again, check with your local ordinances, your state, to see if you need to be licensed. But for like just putting out fertilizer, you don't need to be licensed here. But to put on, certain other chemicals, like pre-emergence, post-emergence, you do have to have license. So certain chemicals, you do have to be licensed.
And you want to know exactly what you're doing with those chemicals before you just start putting them down, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the best resources for that is whether you're licensed or not licensed, the best resource, or when I say not licensed, maybe you're a homeowner, the best resource is follow the label. You know, the label's there for a reason, and that has a ton of information there, that's the best way to go back to.
Okay, yeah, definitely always read the label for sure. Okay, so I'm feeling pretty good about my lawn so far. So what are some other things we can think about?
Well, that's good. So let's get you feeling good about your flower beds, right?
Okay.
So maybe we need to rake out some of the leaves out of the flower beds. Maybe we need to revisit the mulch in there because, you know, mulch obviously decomposes over time. Maybe we just want to get a fresh look in there before our relatives and friends come over for Thanksgiving or Christmas, right? So that's another opportunity as business owners for us to really spruce up the flower beds. And that's going to be raking it out, you know, getting the weeds out of there, mulching. Maybe we even, you know, this would be on the list, but we'll just combine it. Maybe doing a color change, right? So maybe we want to put different flowers in that are more seasonal, right?
Oh yeah, and I love when we change colors and all the different types of mulch. Now, is there kind of an underwritten rule about how often you should change the mulch?
So that depends, right? So typically, I like to recommend, and again, I haven't done the maintenance side of the business in a while. You know, I concentrate more on the fertilization weed side, fertilization and weed control side of the business. But typically, we were recommending 3-4 inch thick mulch on an annual basis, and then that's going to decompose over time. And I can't remember the exact rate of the decomposition. But you want to kind of maintain like a 3-4 inch barrier throughout the year. So if it's decomposing at maybe half that rate, then you know you want to revisit that so often. And that's something that it's a really good selling point as the business owner, and it's really beneficial to the customer as well, because it's, you know, with the nice mulch, you know, they're going to get less weeds popping up. They're going to just get a lot of enhancements, not just from the beautification of it, but other benefits. So,
I know as a homeowner, and you know, just being able to have the mulch put down periodically so many times a year, I would like to be on an annual basis like that, so I don't have to think about it. It's automatic, and then it's kind of a win-win for everybody, right?
I think that's great that you bring that up, because that's an opportunity that I think a lot of business owners miss. Is, you know, if you've got, you know, 10 customers, let's say you're just starting out, you got 10 customers and they all have flower beds and you do mulch for them, that's a really good opportunity to get them where, you know, hey, I'm going to add an inch of mulch every so often, you know, and just have it on a regular basis. So, and I say 10, right? That's when you're first starting out. So if you get into that good habit now, when you have 10 customers, imagine how much revenue you're going to get whenever you have 100 or 200 customers, right? If you continue doing the same things and you have 100 customers or 200 customers where, you know, on a regular basis you're putting down the mulch, that's a really good benefit for you as well as the homeowner.
Yeah, I was going to say that alone as a billable service would be a great way to supplement your income. Okay, so what's something else I need to think about?
So, again, one of the things that even in the flower bed area, we could have, you know, threw it in there as well. You know, you probably have some shrubs and stuff that need to be pruned back and possibly even taken out and replaced, you know, because, again, the drought that we had, I'm seeing already some dying shrubs and stuff. You might want to wait till spring, or you might want to, you know, consider doing it during this time of year, depending on what type of shrubs that you're dealing with. But again, simple, you know, cutting back, trimming, cutting out, and replacing. So it's just different. It just depends at what stage and what needs to be done. But definitely trimming could be something that we're doing on a regular basis, just like the mulch, you know, get them on a regular basis, especially with the holidays coming up, you know, make sure, you know, they want everything looking good. So let's get you scheduled and let's get you taken care of on that.
Yeah, and I have several shrubs. I can tell they're still alive, but there are some dead parts of it. So those can just be, you know, trimmed up, I think, and save those. Now, does it depend on the time? If you end up having dead shrubs and you need them replaced, is there a certain type of shrub that needs to be planted for that type of year? Or does it matter? You need to do research on that? Or
yeah, I you do need to do a little bit of research on that. And, you know, again, I would look at your area, you know, what kind of shrubs and plants that go hand in hand with the area that you're in, because, you know, like Michigan and Texas is going to be different. California is going to be different. New York is going to be different. So we want to kind of do a little bit of research, and you can do a lot of that through your local nursery, you know. Maybe you can get with them and get an idea of, like, you know, these are the three shrub types that do really well, full sun or partial sun or shade. So there's variables in there and also your geographical area.
I do have a question. I've always wondered. I'm pretty aware of how the shrubs are doing and how they grow in the past and, you know, presently on the lawn now. But whenever I see bugs that has infected or infested a shrub, is that shrub completely dead, going to be dead, or is it a way to save the shrub, or do you know?
It depends on the type of bug that you're dealing with, right? And that's a good thing you can get with a professional tree service company that has an arborist on staff, or you can also hook up with a fertilization weed control company, because a lot of the fertilization weed control companies, such as my company, we do take care of shrubs. So we can, you know, diagnose the problem and see if it's permanent or not. Generally speaking, it is treatable. So that's not something to worry about too much.
I always wonder that. That's good to know. So how do you determine the price on trimming or replacing shrubs?
Okay, so the trimming of the shrubs, again, it goes back to developing your own price sheet, right? Doing a little research to see what's out there and what other competitors are charging. And then the basic of basic formulas is figuring out how much you want to make per man hour. Determining it that way, right? So you can either quote it, feel confident that, yeah, I'm quoting it at 225, and yeah, it should take me X number of hours, and I'm going to make X dollar per man hour. Whatever that number is for you, your company, your area, and how that competes with other people in your area. So, $60 per man hour, $80. It just depends on where you are and how that relates to your competitors in your area.
So, yeah, those are great ways to enhance and beautify the lawn. Are there any other jobs or any other things that a landscaper or lawn professional could do to enhance their income for the low income season?
Yeah, so, you know, aside from landscaping and doing the, fertilization weed control, the aeration, the gutters, the tree trimming, aside from all that, I've seen a lot of people start doing, power washing, right? So maybe you're adding power washing, or maybe you already do power washing. So you can, do some power washing when it comes to the decks, the sidewalks and such, kind of get that good look before the holidays, before clay gets, your relatives coming in, your family. Do you have a deck, by the way?
I do have a deck, a small deck. So yes, so definitely be a good opportunity to have that cleaned and maintained.
Yeah, that way, you can get that looking good for the relatives coming in.
Perfect. What else you got?
So another thing is, we talked about the fall and winter months. Christmas comes to mind. So another thing that a lot of the lawn maintenance companies, landscapers and such add on is Christmas lights, right? So that's another opportunity for you to add on some revenue if that's what you want to do, right? It's just keeping within your comfort zone.
Yeah, and I would not hang Christmas lights myself, but if someone came around and was offering to do that, certainly I would take them up on the offer. So I feel that would be a great way to supplement someone's income during that time period. Is there anything else we can think about?
I think that covers a pretty wide range, and maybe our audience can jump in and add a few more things to us. I'm sure this is kind of off the top of the head kind of thing to see how we can enhance and maybe just get us to start thinking about what are some of the opportunities that we can have during this fall winter months. And once we think about that and we think about it early, we can start thinking about how can we start marketing now, right? So we can start getting our postcards together if we don't already have them together, and the other ways that we advertise to get that going.
That sounds great, Frank.
Well, Clay, so I appreciate you joining in with me, and I hope that our audience enjoyed this. We wanted to try a little different format to see, kind of get a perspective of, you know, a homeowner that doesn't have the business side of it, and kind of merge those two together and see what we came up with.
I really enjoyed being a guest, and I appreciate all the feedback and some things I can go think about now for my home.
You bet, you bet. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Lawn Care Frank podcast. Please subscribe and visit lawncarefrank.com for more helpful tips and information.